We're holding on Chof Zayin Amr Aleph, the eighth line. We're holding Chof Zayin Amr Aleph, the eighth line. Gufa, getting back to something that we said before in the Sylvia. So we were discussing the question. We had a case of three brothers were married to three sisters. Those three brothers passed away. There are two brothers left. So we discussed what they need in terms of chalitza. None of them can do yibum because you have a problem like you have in our Mishnah where each one of them is his zakuka, but each one is a zakuka to each one of the brothers, but each one is also a chosikukasai, and we don't want them to be doing yibum. So we discussed one possibility is because yesh zika, because we say the fact that each of them is zakuk to each of the brothers makes it therefore that her sister is almost like a wife's sister, which is osir. Or do we say ein zika, but we say osir levatal mitzvah yibumin, you're not allowed to do something which is going to prevent the mitzvah of yibum or chalitza being done with one of these women. Like this, if, for example, if Reuven now goes and does yibum with one of these women, and Shimon does, and we said, let's say then if he dies, nothing, or the other one dies, rather, Shimon dies, then no yibum is going to be able to be done, and no chalitza is needed to be done with either of the other two, even though each of them does have her own independent requirement of yibum, because each of them had her own husband. So we were discussing that, and we discussed then that we said that according to Rav, what would happen is the first two women who became widows would need one chalitza each, as usual, but the third one would actually need two chalitzas, one from Reuben and one from Shimon, because we're saying for each one of them it's a chalitza psula, it's a weak kind of chalitza, in the sense that they can't do yibum with them. So Rav holds tzricha lachzu akol achen. She would have to go to all the brothers and get chalitza from each one of them in order to satisfy that. Then we said, according to Shmuel, on the other hand, we said it's enough if one of them does chalitza for all three of them. That's good enough. In that connection, we mentioned a different din that Shmuel had said, which is illustrated in diagram 142, which now we're going to discuss in more detail in the Gemara. So Shmuel is saying, so you have two brothers, Reuben and Levi, who are married, each of them is married to two women. They each have a wife who is a sister of the other wife. So Reuben and Levi are married respectively to Rachel and Leah. In addition, Reuben is married to an unrelated woman, Hannah, and Levi is married to an unrelated woman, Esther. So now Shmuel says, When it comes to doing chalitza, cholatz la'achoyes, if Shimon now were to do chalitza with either one of the sisters, loy niftiru tzores, then we have not patted the tzores with that, and he's going to need to do chalitza with them as well. Because the zika with the sisters is weaker, because he's not able to do yibum with them because of the issue of achoyes tzikukosay. So if you were to do chalitza with them, then it's not good enough. On the other hand, if he did chalitza with the tzaris, he's gonna have to do two chalitzas regardless, because we have two different batim over here. We have two different families, two different husbands, Reuben and Levi. So regardless, he's gonna have to do two yibumim or two chalitzas. But so if he does, so he would actually be able to do, yibum with either Chana or Esther. There's nothing preventing him from doing yibum with them, because there's no issue of relationships outside of the fact that they were his brother's wife. And that, of course, is what the Torah is matzo. But, he can't do yibum with Rachel or with Leah because of the problem of achos sikukasei. So now Shmuel is saying, in addition, if he were to do chalitza with Rachel or with Leah, he'd still again need to do chalitza with the tzareis as well. Because the tzareis, the zika of the tzareis is stronger, therefore it doesn't get taken away by the chalitza psula, by the weaker chalitza that's done with Rachel or Leah respectively. So Lotzoris Niftira Achoyas. So he says if he does chalitza, never mind if he does yibum, we're not even dealing with that, but if he does chalitza with Chana, then that patters Rachel, and if he does chalitza with Esther, then that patters Leah. Similarly, So we discussed actually previously in the Gemara that one possibility is that Shmuel would say that a weak chalitza does pater her, it just doesn't pater her tzara. So in a similar vein over here, we'd be saying if Shimon does chalitza with Rachel, then that's good enough for her. But nevertheless, we still need him also to do chalitza with Chana, and the same thing with Levi's wives. Shmuel continues with similar kinds of things. Here's another example. Later on in the Masechta, we're going to talk about in more detail that now midaraisa, the only two things you have with the Yavama are Yibum or Chalitza. But midrabanan, you have two more things that were added. We talked already in the first parak about Mimer, where midrabanan, you're supposed to do Kiddushin before you do Yibum, and in Yibum terms, that Kiddushin is called Mimer. So it's the regular kind of Kiddushin, Kesef or Shtar. But in terms of Yibum, it's called Mimer. And what that does is that creates, Midrabanan, it creates a certain connection between them, which afterwards the expectation is that he's going to fulfill that connection using, with Yibum, which then will complete things. But later on in the Masechta, we're going to talk about in more detail what happens if he doesn't. The various permutations of what could happen after Mimer. Likewise, also, midaraisa get has no effect on a yavama. You need chalitza to break the zikah between them. However, midrabanan, there is a concept that if he gives her a get, then it weakens the zikah. Now he can't do yibum with her anymore. So by the same token, then he says, so suppose that you have two wives, let's say we're not talking about where one of them is the sister of the other brother's wife, but rather we're talking about just that there were two wives. So you have Reuven and Shimon. Reuven died, left two wives. Shimon gave a get to one of them. Later on, he wants to do chalitza with her. Well, cholat habalas again, l'nifter atzara, with that, Shmuel is saying he doesn't pater her atzara, because again, the zika with the one he gave the get to is now a weaker zika. On the other hand, l'tzara, nifter, habalas again. But if he does chalitza with the one he did not give the get to the tzara, then he paters the one who got the get. Because once the stronger zika is broken, then the weaker zika is gone as well. And a third example Shmuel gives, cholat labalas ha-mimer. What happens if between these two women, the two wives of Reuben, he gave one of them mimer, he did kiddushin with one of them, and later on he does chalitza with her, loy nifter atzara, then he does not pater the tzara with that, because now, having given her a mimer, that kind of strengthens the zika between them, in the sense that even if he does chalitza with her, he's also going to need a get. He's going to need to give her a get to undo his mimer, and then he can do chalitza. So if he does chalitza with the one he did the mimer to, lo nifter atzara, then again, the problem is that that's a weak chalitza. It's a chalitza psula, and therefore, because it's still going to require a get, and therefore it doesn't pass to the tzara. Lo tzara, nifter, abalas a get. Lutzara nifter abalas chalitza abalas a mimer le nifter atzara. Lutzara nifter abalas mimer. But if he did chalitza with the tzara, then the one he did the mimer to as well is potter, because now he will still need to give her a get for his mimer. Fine, but nevertheless, at least the zika that existed, the stronger zika exists with the tzara, where there was no mimer yet, and therefore, because she doesn't require a get, all she requires is chalitza, and therefore giving her chalitza pathers both of them. So the Gemara asks, now let's consider that first case of the sisters. So what is Shmuel telling us? In the first case, where the two brothers were married to two sisters, as well as each of them to another woman, and we said if he does chalitza to the sisters, then he's not pater in the tzaris. And the reason is, the reason is because the problem between Rachel and Leah is each one of them has a zika to him. Therefore, via zika, each one is considered achoyis ishtar. On the assumption that we say yesh zika, so we said that So we said before, Rav holds Ein Zika, Shmuel apparently holds Yesh Zika. So the Zika causes it that Rachel is considered to a certain extent his wife, and therefore Leah is Achos Ishtoi, and vice versa, Leah is to a certain extent considered his wife, and therefore Rachel is Achos Ishtoi. Fine, we understand that. Well then, so we understand why Chalitza with them is a Chalitza Psula, why it's a weak Chalitza, but Cholat the Tzoretz Nami Loin Lifter Achos. By the same logic, we should say that even doing chalitza with the tzaris, with Chana or Esther, respectively, doesn't pater the sister. The have with tzaris achos isha bezika, because then what you have is each one of them is the tzara of an achos isha via zika. And we know already from the first perek that. We know already from the first perek, from the first mission actually, Chameshas Rinoshim Potras Tzoriseihen, that any time one of the wives is an erva to him, then her tzora is also potter. Well, so by the same logic over here, given that Shimon can't do Yibum with Rachel, let's say, because she's also a host, because she's a host Sikokosa, then therefore her tzora, Chana, her zika should also be a weak zika, in the sense that he can't do Yibum with her either. Before we said he could do Yibum with her, but now we're saying maybe not. Given that Rachel is Achos Sikukasai, then her Tzara is the Tzara of an Achos Sikukasai. So the same way as the Tzara of Ashes, of the same way as the Tzara of his own wife's sister. So if it wasn't a matter of Yibum, if Shimon was actually married to, if Shimon was actually married to Rachel, if Shimon was actually married to Rachel, then her tzara would be potter, or whatever the scenario is where we have where his wife's sister is married to somebody else, and he can't do let's say Shimon was married to Rachel and Reuven to Chana, obviously then let's say Rachel and Chana were sisters, obviously then he's not doing Yibum with Chana because she's his wife's sister, and if there was another Tzara, he wouldn't be doing Yibum with her either. So by the same logic over here, he's not married to her, but there's a Zika, shouldn't the same thing apply? So we should say that the Zika with both Rachel and Chana and with both Leah and Esther is a weak Zika, because neither of them can do Yibum, and therefore doing Chalitza to the Tzara shouldn't help the sister either. The answer is Kasava Shmuel, Ein Zika. The answer is Shmuel, in fact, would hold Ein Zika, like we said before, Rab says. So the question is, Va'amar Shmuel Yesh Zika. Didn't we have before in the sugya about Yesh Zika or Ein Zika at the beginning of the second parak, Shmuel said over there is Zika? Okay, the answer is L'divra Oyma Ein Zika Kama. Shmuel's din over here about the case of the sisters and the tzores is not talking, he's not saying I myself hold this. He's saying according to the opinion, Yesh Zika, according to the opinion, Ein Zika, then this would be the result. If we say Yesh Zika, then it's true he would need to do Chalitza separately with each of these four women because neither of them would pass through the other. So the question is, well then let's consider. So why are we saying if he does chalitza with either one of the sisters, is it not pater in the tzara? Let's work it through. So let's say, for example, we're putting them in the order Leah then Rachel. So here in the diagram, they put Rachel on the left and then Leah on the right. But let's say that actually, well, it doesn't really matter. The positions, obviously, but let's say that things happen with Leah first. Let's say Levi died first. So let's consider then. So I can understand why Rachel's tzara is not going to be potter through doing chalitza with Rachel, because let's work it out. Once he did chalitza with Leah, and then later on he did chalitza with Rachel. So now that second chalitza, that chalitza that he did to Rachel, is a chalitza psula. This is if we say ein zika. So if we say ein zika, so there's no problem of the fact that Rachel and Leah are sisters. But once he did chalitza we're saying that there's no problem with them as being sisters until chalitza is done. Namely, if we say Ein Zika, there's no problem of them being Achos Sikukosei, because we don't care about that if we say Ein Zika, but there still is a problem of Achos Chalutzosei, there still is a problem that if he did chalitza with a certain woman, then her sister is also to him. So when he does chalitza with Leah, and then he does chalitza with Rachel, habila chalitza de Rachel, chalitza psula. So now the one with Rachel is a chalitza psula because he wouldn't have been able to do yibum with her because of that iser of achos chalutzase. Because again, the Chachamim treated chalutzase for this purpose as if she had been his wife and then divorced her, where therefore, just like a man is not allowed to marry his wife's sister as long as his ex-wife is alive, the same way over here, we would say he's not allowed to marry his chalutza's sister as long as she's alive. So fine. So that explains why Rachel is the chalitza psula. El tzara d'leia tiftar. But if you're saying ein zika, meaning that when he did chalitza with Leah, there was no problem in the first place. He could have even done yibum with Leah. Rashi says he could have done yibum with her. One second. So then in that case, Leah's Sarah Esther should be completely potter because the chalitza ma'ula was done. Now Rashi says that actually Shimon could have even done yibum with Leah, because if we say ein zika, there's nothing preventing him from doing yibum with Leah, because so what? Rachel's her sister, is not considered achos sikukasai. We don't care about zika. Tosfos says that not. The fact is, even if we say ein zika, we still say, as we said at the beginning of the perek, osu levato mitzvas yibamin, you're not allowed to do something which is going to prevent yibum from taking place with another woman. And here, by doing yibum with Leah, he's preventing doing anything with Rachel, because as soon as he marries Leah, then Rachel becomes achos ishtoi and is off limits to him. So rather, Tosfos says, okay, that's not reason enough. Tosfos discussed before on Chavav Amud Beis, we don't always say. Rashi had made the general rule: whenever yibum is not possible, then the chalitza that's being done in place of that yibum is called chalitza psula. Tosfos disagrees and says only when it's something that has directly to do with the matter of yibum, not when it's because of a side thing. So over here, only by a chos sikukasai and an achos chalutzasai and other such things are considered because the zika itself has been weakened. Where it's not that the zika has been weakened, but there are other issues, we don't call that chalitza psula. So Tosfos says it's not that he could have done yibum with Leah, but nevertheless, it's not that the zika has been weakened. If he can't marry Leah because of a side thing, also levatul mitzvah yibamin, that's not reason enough to consider that a chalitza psula. So that's what the Gemara is asking then. So at least when he does, so if we say yesh zika, then so either way, whether we say yesh zika or ein zika, we seem to have a problem with Shmuel's statement. If we say yesh zika, then even doing chalitza with one of the tzoreis shouldn't help the sister, because the tzoreis themselves are also as tzoras achos zikukasai, where you can't do yibum with them. And if we say ein zika, then why are we saying that Leah tzora should have a problem? When he did chalitza with Leah, that was a fully valid chalitza. According to Rashi, even to the extent that he could have done yibum with her. According to Tosfos, it's fine. He couldn't have done yibum with her, but it's still considered a chalitza mu'ula, because the impediment is not something that weakened the zika, per se. So that's the question. Tzora de Leah tiftar. So Leah's tzora should be potter on that basis, because when he did a chalitza with Leah, that was the best possible chalitza. And the answer is, you're right. The Gemara says, my lo niftu et tzoris. Nami dekamer. You know what? When Shmuel says that tzoris in plural are not potter, he means that tzora de Rachel. He doesn't mean both tzoris. Leah's tzora, which was the where we did chalitza first with Leah, would be fine. What we mean is Rachel's tzora is still not in good shape because of that. So even though the scenario would be, he did chalitza with Leah. Now Reuven died and he did chalitza with Rachel. Still doesn't help Chana, and he's going to need to do chalitza with her as well. So the Gemara says, "V'hat tzoros kamar." What do you mean? He said tzoros in plural means both Rachel and Leah's tzoros. Okay, the Gemara says tzoros to Alma. It means other tzoros from. It means, in other words, in general, tzoros to Alma. In general, any case where you would have like that, then the tzora is not going to be pastured by her sister. But specifically, we would be saying if we say ein zika, then it would mean that we're saying one sara in each of these, one sara in each pair like this. But altogether, when you consider all the cases in the world where it might happen like that, then you can speak of sara is plural. Okay. So the Gemara asks, Ihachi, so what are you telling me then? Cholatz l'tzores niftira achayis. Now Shmuel had said in that case, if you do chalitza with the tzara, then the sister is potter. So to continue our scenario over here, so he did chalitza with Leah. Fine. That took care of Leah and of Esther. Now we're saying if he were to go and do chalitza with Hannah, then we're saying it would potter Rachel as well. Why? Ba'atzoras Rachel mi miftira? Why? Why would Rachel be potter? Because he did chalitza with her tzara. V'hatnan, we learn in the Mishnah in the next parak. Also, Adam, but Saras Kroivas Chalutzosai. Another gzeira that Chachamim made is if you have the relative of his Chalutza, so let's say you have his Chalutza, so his Chalutza, let's say, had a sister, or there's one or two other relationships that we're going to talk about there on Daf Mem in this connection. So if he has, so let's say her sister. So if his Chalutza has a sister, and that sister has a tzara, then he's also to marry that tzara midrabanan. Later on Daf Mem, we'll talk about the Daf Mem, and the top of Mem Aleph, we'll talk about the reason for it. The reason boils down to that when a woman goes for chalitza, then she tends to take a close relative, such as her sister, along, and therefore people don't necessarily realize which one had the chalitza. So therefore, if he marries her tzara, people are going to think that he's allowed to marry the tzara of his chalitza. So now let's consider. This is the exact case we have over here, because Leah he did chalitza with, Rachel is her sister, Chana is her tzara. Well, we're saying over there that Chana is also off limits to him, midrabanan. So how does it help to do chalitza with Chana and pater Rachel? Both Rachel and Chana are also to him in different ways. So the fact is he can't do Yibum with either one of them. So the answer is Shmuel Nami Hischo V'loi Hischo Ka'amar. So you're right, actually. Shmuel is saying, what Shmuel is talking about is when he began with one set of women versus he began with the other set. Which means, in other words, that now, so Tosfos says, now the Gemara is changing its mind on what Shmuel holds. Before we said that Shmuel himself had said in the sugya of Yesh Zika or Ein Zika back on Daf Yud Zayin Yud Ches, Shmuel had said over there Yesh Zika. So first we wanted to say in our Gemara over here that our discussion is going according to the opinion Ein Zika, because if we said Yesh Zika, then we don't understand how each one of these women is either a sister or a tzara of a sister of his skoka or a tzara of the sister of his skoka, and either one of them is equally also to him. Now we're changing our mind, and we're saying that Shmuel in fact does hold that Yesh Zika. So not that, like we have to say before, that Shmuel was talking before, that he himself holds Yesh Zika, but our scenario over here is according to the opinion Ein Zika. No, we can say that, our discussion over here is in fact, on the assumption that there is Zika. So what we're saying is Hischo v'loi Hischo ka'amar. He's talking about where you began with. If you began chalitza with one group versus you began with the other group, namely hischo ba'achoyes lo yigma b'tzaris. So what we mean is, if he started by doing chalitza to one of the sisters, if he did chalitza to Leah, then indeed the next one he does chalitza with. So now by having done chalitza to Leah, he's now taking care of Leah and Esther. Now he should not continue by doing chalitza with Chana, who is the tzara of Rachel, Reuben's wife, because doing that is not going to pater Rachel. And the reason is it's none. Also, Adam Betzaras Krevas Chalutzasi, precisely for the reason that we just said. Rachel is the relative, is the sister of his Chalutza. Chana is her tzara, and she's equally well also to him. So therefore, doing Chalutza with her is not going to help Rachel. But Shmuel is continuing. If he started with the tzoros, then he's allowed to continue. Then he's allowed to continue even with one of the sisters. So if he did chalitza to Esther, and with that he patered Leah as well. Now at that point, when he goes to Reuben's wives, he would be equally allowed to do chalitza with Rachel or with Hannah, because neither one of them neither one of them is any more off limits to him than the other. Because he didn't do chalitza with Leah herself, he did chalitza with Esther. So Rachel is not the sister of his chalitza, and Hannah is not the tnan. We learn in that same mission, muta adam bekroivas tzoras chalitza. Now a man is allowed to marry the relative of the tzora of his chalitza. So we have to distinguish between the tzora of the relative of his chalitza and the relative of the tzora of his chalitza. So, in other words, in our example over here, Tzoras Kroivas Chalutzosai would be, well, so that's actually, we have the next diagram will help illustrate this a little better. So if we have Reuben and Shimon, we start with Reuben and Shimon. Shimon has two wives. One of those wives has a daughter from a different marriage, named Esther. The sister of Leah, Rachel, marries an unrelated man, David, who also has another wife, Miriam. So now when Shimon dies and Reuben does chalitza with Leah, so now let's see, Leah is his chalitza. Reuven is the Rachel, rather. So Leah is his chalutza. Rachel is the sister of his chalutza. So far, both of those are osir. So now Miriam is the tzara of the relative of his chalutza. So Miriam would be osir to Reuven as well. If David dies and Miriam wants to remarry, she can't remarry Reuven. She can't marry Reuven because she is Tzoras Kroivas Chalutza. So you have his Chalutza as Leah, her relative is Rachel, and her Tzora is Miriam. That's also. On the other hand, for example, Reuben would be allowed to marry Esther because Hannah is the Tzora of his Chalutza, and Esther is the relative of the Tzora of his Chalutza. That kind of thing is mutter. Because the Gemara explains over there when we discuss that point on Daf Mem, then the Gemara is going to point out there's no possibility of confusing them when Leah goes to do chalitza, she's not going to bring her tzara Chana along with her. So therefore, we have no reason to be concerned that people are going to be confused between one tzara and another. Actually, I guess he couldn't. Actually, I guess Chana maybe might not be mutter to him because after all, once he did chalitza with Leah, then the zika with Chana goes away as well, and then she's after all his brother's wife. But Esther would certainly be mutter to him because she's only the relative of the tzara of his chalutza since he did chalitza with Leah. So applying that to our Gemara over here, so what Shmuel is saying is in the previous diagram, in the previous scenario, so if Shimon had done chalitza with Leah, so now that creates a problem on Rachel because that creates a problem not only on Rachel but also Hannah, because Rachel now is the sister of his chalutza and Hannah is the tzara of the sister of his chalutza, which is also derabanan. So now, therefore, if he does chalitza with either one of them, Rachel or Hannah, it's not patering the other one. On the other hand, if he does chalitza with Esther and thereby patters Leah, so then there's no problem on Rachel or on Chana, because Rachel is the relative of the tzara of his chalutza, Esther being his chalutza, Leah being her tzara, and Rachel being her relative. Chana is certainly not a problem, she's even further away. So therefore, now he can do maybe even Yibum, or certainly chalitza, with either of the two of them, and therefore that covers the other one. So that would be what Shmuel means. So he's talking about where it began.
So the relative of Tzara is Muzdar Midrabanan. That's what you're saying, basically.
The relative of the Tzara of the Chalutza, right.
The Tzara of the relative is not.
Is also. Right. And that's the Gemara explains later on when we deal with this on Daf Nam. I know it takes a halt cup a little over here, but the idea is the Gemara says because we have to consider which ones are likely to be confused, which ones are likely to have gone to Beis Din together for the Chalitza. The woman and her sister, or a woman and her daughter, or whatever, are likely to go. A woman and her tzara are less likely to go.
The tzara is defined as what by you?
The co-wife, as we've been talking about throughout the Masechta. In our diagrams, for example, a tzara is a co-wife, where two of them are married to the same man. In our diagrams over here, for example, Hannah and Rachel are tzaras, Leah and Esther are tzaras, and so forth.
Okay.
Okay. So all that's one way of understanding Shmuel.
So we're worried about them going just to Chalitza, if they're going to go shopping together, or if even they go to Chalitza together, and the Rabbanim, the witnesses, know who's who. Why we worry?
Yeah, but it's not a matter of the Rabbanim and the witnesses knowing who's who. It's we want the general public has to know who's who. The general public is going to see that they went together to Beis Din. And chalitza was done, and the general public doesn't know which one had chalitza done. So therefore, they don't know which one. They don't know clearly which one had chalitza done. Later on, when they see her marrying her, later on when they see him marrying her tzara, they're going to think you're allowed to marry the tzara of your chalitza, which you're not, of course, because once you did chalitza with one of them, then the other one is off limits to you.
I'm assuming that when you get chalitza, the Bezdin gives you a paper saying that you had chalitza done properly.
That may well be, but they do. They give you a get chalitza, but nevertheless, though, it's still the general public is not necessarily going to be aware of that. So therefore, the Chachamim have reason to be concerned about that. We'll talk about that in more detail on Daf Nam Beis Hashem. Okay, so anyway,
ever considered as a tzara?
A sister-in-law, let's see, could a sister-in-law be a tzara? Not initially. I mean, you could have later on, I guess, as a result of Yibum, maybe you could have sisters-in-law ending up being tzaras, but not to begin with. No, because how would they be married to the same man?
Right, but after Yibum, yes.
Yibum, yeah. I mean, a classic case of Yibum. Reuben and Shimon are married to two wives, where their wives, therefore, are sisters-in-law. Now, if Reuben dies and Shimon does Yibum, then yeah, he's got two wives who formerly were sisters-in-law, sure.
They would be called tzaras also.
They would also be called tzaras. Anytime you have two women married to the same man, they're called tzaras. And the reason for that is because they tend to be the word tzara. I mean, literally, tzara means trouble. And the reason is because often you find that co-wives of the same man, they're rivals for their husband's affection, so they tend to cause trouble for each other. I mean, a classic example you have is the example of Hannah and Pnina, the wives of Elkanah, where we find in the Pesukim over there that every time they went to Shiloh, then Pnina would be harassing Hannah. Okay, the Gemara says she was doing it L'shem Shemayim to get her to motivate her to daven more sincerely for a child, but still, yeah. Okay. There's an expression someplace in the Gemara where that portrays a man has two wives, one is old, one is young. So the young one wants him to still look young, so every time she sees a white hair, she pulls it out. The old one wants him to look old like her, so every time she sees a black hair, she pulls it out. So between the two of them, he winds up bald. So all of that is one way of understanding Shmuel's statement over here. So we can say that after all, Shmuel's statement is predicated on the idea of Yesh Zika. We don't have to say like we did originally that it's based on the idea Ein Zika. So we're saying though that we're not saying that both tzaras necessarily are going to need chalitza. We're saying if you did chalitza to Leah first, then fine, that takes care of her and her tzara, and then we only have to worry about the other side. But if he does chalitza with Esther first, then not only Leah is potter, but then also he's able later on to do chalitza with either Rachel or Chana and potter the other one because both of them have a strong zika with him. Rav Ashi says you don't even need that. La'olam kidka amrit. We can go back to the original explanation that it's not talking about where he started with. That was saying that if he does chalitza to either one of the sisters, it doesn't pater her tzara. So what would that mean? So we asked before, if he does chalitza with Leah, what's wrong with the zika with her versus her tzara, that we're saying it shouldn't pass to her tzara. But we could say, so we could still answer that nevertheless, chalitza with either one of the sisters is a chalitza grua, because again, each one is also to him on the grounds of being a choisik chosay, but, what we can say though is that zika is not strong enough to make tzara be considered as an erva. In other words, our initial assumption earlier in the sugya was that just like his wife's sister, who is also to him daraisa, we say that's strong enough to pater her tzara as well, as we learned at the beginning of the Masechta. We assume that the same thing is true. If we say yesh zika, we assume the same thing is true of achoy siku kosei. Rav Ashi is telling us not necessarily. Yes, achoy siku kosei we treat as if it was achoy sishtoi, therefore she's off limits to him, but not so strongly that we would say that it makes that her tzara is considered the tzara of an erva. So therefore, the zika with Chana and with Esther is stronger than it is with Rachel and with Leah. Therefore, we're back to our original understanding of Shmuel's statement. It is based on the idea yesh zika. But what we're saying, and what we're saying is, therefore, the chalitza that he would do with Leah or with Rachel is considered a chalitza psula, because you can't do yibum with either one of them because of achoy siku kosei. Therefore, when he does chalitza with either one of them, it doesn't pater her tzara, because her tzara has a stronger zika. Aye, she's the tzara of a chosikukosai. Doesn't matter, says Rav Ashi. The tzara of a chosikukosai is not considered off limits to him. So maybe he would be able to give him with those tzaras, but even if not, their zika is stronger than the zika of the two sisters. In effect, in other words, what Rav Ashi is saying is the Ritva types out. The same Chachamim who made the rule of Achos Siku Kosei, they also said that, on the other hand, that that's not strong enough to create a weaker Zika with the Tzoros and make that the Tzoros should be off limits as well. So the Gemara says, Tanya Chavasei did Rav Ashi. In fact, we learn a Braisa like Rav Ashi's understanding. If he did chalitza to either one of the sisters, then the tzores are not potter, implying cholat tzores niftir achoyes. The implication being that if he did chalitza with either one of the tzores, then the sister who was the co-wife of that brother is also potter. My timer. Now, why would that be? Lav mishum b'kasava yesh zika. It must be based on what we just said, because the Tana of this Braisa holds yesh zika, v'loy alima zika l'shavui l'tzara k'erva. But like Rav Ashi is saying, that is not, that the zika is not strong enough to make that her tzara should be considered an erva. So therefore, that would be, so the Braisa would be saying exactly what Rav Ashi is saying, that if he does chalitza with Esther, then that's a stronger zika than it is with Leah, therefore Pater is Leah. We don't say just because Leah is off limits to him, therefore her tzara is automatically off limits, and therefore the zika with either one of them is a weak zika. No, we would say the zika with Esther is a strong one, the zika with Leah is a weak one. And the same thing with Rachel and Chana, respectively. The Braisa hasn't spelled that out, but we seem to deduce that from the Braisa. So therefore, that would support what Rav Ashi is saying. However, the Gemara says, Omer of Abba Bar Memel, not necessarily, because Homani Bes Shamayhi, you could answer just as well that this Braisa was according to Bes Shamay. The Tanan Bes Shamay Maturin Atzores Lachin. After all, we had back in the first parak where Bes Shamay doesn't hold of the whole concept of Tzoras Erva anyway. So we could say, you know why Chana and Esther, according to this Braisa, are mutter to him, because according to Bes Shamay, even if Rachel was an actual erva to him, then Chana would still be required to do Yibum or Chalitza. And the same thing with Leah and Esther, respectively. So if we say this Braisa was according to Bes Shamay, then it doesn't prove anything about what Besilla would hold and about what the Halacha is. So the Gemara asks, Yihochi Yabumi Nami Tisyabim. Well then, why is the Braisa speaking only in terms of Chalitza? Maybe it should be speaking in terms of Yibum as well. After all, according to Bes Shamay, whether Rachel or Leah are also to him, whether even if they themselves were actually Arayas in that Torah, then Chana or Esther are actually still allowed to do Yibum with him. Because again, he said they don't hold the whole concept of Tzoras Erga. So then why is the Braisa focusing on Chalitza rather than on Yibum? And Tosfos says, in Shmuel's din, we focused on Chalitza because we already know the din about Tzora, about Kroivas, Tzoras Chalutzase, and Chalutza, Tzoras Kroivoy, and all that, Tzoras Kroivas Chalutzase, or Kroivas, Tzoras Chalutzase. We know that from the Mishnah later on in the Masechta, and Shmuel is explaining how that impinges on our case over here. So therefore, we have no reason to mention Yibum. But the Braisa is not talking about any of that. So the Braisa should have at least mentioned Chalitza or Yibum. It should have said that something along the lines of the Braisa might have said Yibum l'achoyes lo niftu l'tzoros or something like that, or Yibum v'cholat l'achoyes or something like that. The fact that it only mentions Chalitza seems to imply that our Braisa is saying you have to do Chalitza, not Yibum. So it can't be like the Shammai. The answer is it could. Rav Yechon ben Nuri. The answer is no. It could be like Rav Yechon ben Nuri, the Omar, where we learned in the first perek that he argued, given that we have this machlokes, this Shammai b'Hillel about the tzoros, boyo unesachin lahem the tzoros sheyuchiltus v'loid nesiyamus, come, let's make a takona that the tzoros should do chalitza and not yibum. And that way we've covered all our bases because according to b'Hillel, there's no problem with them doing chalitza. They don't need Chalitza, according to Beis Hillel, but there's no problem doing it. According to Beis Shammai, Chalitza will serve in place of Yibum. So that way you're covered according to everybody. So now this Braisa could be talking according to that. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? The fact is they didn't make that Takana. Well, Amar Ma'aloi speak with Ligmar said Davarach and Nitrafasha. We learned in a Braisa there that they didn't have a chance to make the Takana before the times went bad and they weren't able to because whether it was because of Roman persecution or whether it was something else, whatever, they never had a chance to assemble and make that Takana. The answer is Amar Nachman took Achra Chozer Vatichnu. Fine, in Rav Yechon and Nuri's times they weren't able to, but at some later point, the Chachamim did in fact make that Takana. And we should assume that that's the case. And the Braisa is referring according to that. But we're talking about though strictly according to Beis Hillel, where Chalitza is not necessary at all. Not necessarily does this Braisa support the idea that if we hold completely like Beis Hillel, that a tzara of an erva doesn't require Chalitza. That this Braisa should be bearing on that, because maybe this Braisa is talking only according to this compromise between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. And Tosfos says, because this that we said before in the Gemara, that this Rav Ashi's answer, the Gemara is considering Rav Ashi's answer, that there's a difference between the fact that there is a Zika, and on the other hand, that it's not strong enough to make to make the tzora be considered an erva. The Gemara considered that a bit of a doichik, and therefore the Gemara is trying every possible way to avoid having to say that, even if that means us saying that they made a takana which is unrecorded anywhere else except in this braisa. Okay. In any case, we have an explanation. We have a couple possible explanations of Shmuel's din over here. So his din is based on the idea of, we're saying in the end that his din over here about the sisters and the tzoras is based on the idea that yesh zika. So one way of understanding it is we don't mean that both tzoras have a problem. We mean that if he started with Leah and pater her tzara, then there's no way to do only one more chalitza and pater the wives of Reuven. He's going to have to do two chalitzas with them. And the other way we're saying is that either way, whichever sister he begins with, both tzaras are going to need chalitza. Whereas if he started with one of the tzaras, then he only needs one other yibum on the other side to take care, and one other chalitza on the other side to take care of things. Okay, the Gemara says he's boyable. So now we have another question. We said before in Shmuel's statement, we mentioned three possibilities. We said where there are, we said where there are tzara, where there are sisters in tzaras, and then we mentioned the idea where he did mimer, where he gave a get to one of the women, to one of the two co-wives, one of the two tzaras, or where he gave a mimer to one of them. So we said in each of those cases, we said the one he gave a get to has thereby weakened the zika. So now if he does chalitza with her afterwards, that's not good enough. He needs to do chalitza with her tzara as well, but not the other way around. If he does chalitza with the tzara, then that takes care of the balas a get. Similarly, he said as far as mimer, if he does mimer with one of the women and later does chalitza with her, that's not enough to pater her tzara, but vice versa is fine. So now the question is, balas a get or balas mimer, ezimahem kademis. Which one, suppose you have, so let's say the brother died, he has two wives. Now let's say his brother, Shimon, gave a get to one of them and did a mimer to the other one. So now he can't do yibum with either one anymore because having given a get to one of them, now we apply, so we learned previously in the Masechta, I think in the previous Perek, the idea that kiven shaloi bana shuv lo yivne. The pasuk says asher lo yivne es beis achiv, and we learn from that once he was not bona, then he can't be boina in the future, from which we learn that once he gave chalitza once he did chalitza, then he can't marry her or any of her tzaras. By the same token, midrabanan, if he gave one of them a get, then the same thing would apply. So which one is kagenis? Which one should we say that he does chalitza with her and patters the other one? Tosfos and Tosfos Yeshanim discuss over here, which one's zika is stronger and therefore which one should he do chalitza with and patter the other? Or are we saying the other way around? Are we saying which one has a stronger zika and therefore better to do it with her? Or the other way around, are we saying which one has a stronger zika and therefore she's not going to be pastured by the other one? So do we say balas a get that deformation to ask for bachalitza? Do we say that maybe the one he gave the get to has the stronger position because he already began the process of chalitza with her? So therefore, that would mean her zika is weaker than the other one, and therefore we could say maybe that if he does chalitza with her, then that's not good enough to pass to the other one, or vice versa. We could say that it means, therefore, if he does chalitza with the other one, it's good enough to pater her. Or duma balas maimer adifa, or maybe the one who received the maimer is better, mission to kreva labia, because she's closer to bia. Because after all, the normal procedure is that you do maimer, and then you do bia for yibum. So which one's zika is stronger, Which one should he preferably do chalitza with? Amar Ravashi Toshma. Let's bring a proof from later in Amar Masechta. We're going to have the fifth perek of Amar Masechta is going to deal with. It's a short perek, but it deals in detail with all these permutations of mimer and get and so forth. So now the perek there starts off by saying that Rav Gamliel says. Ein get acha get, the ein mimer acha mimer. Meaning like this. Rav Gamliel is telling us like this. Suppose that a man had two wives. Now, suppose that the brother did mimer with one and then gave a get to the other one. Let's start with the basic case. Suppose that there are two wives over there. So Reuben was married to two wives. Now he dies. Now, Rav Gamliel says, suppose that Shimon gives a get to one of them and then gives a get to the other one. So Rav Gamliel holds, ein get acha get. The second get does not, the second get has no effect. The first one had an effect to the extent that now he can't do yibum with her anymore. But Rav Gamliel says the second one has no effect. In the sense, it's as if he didn't give her a get, and therefore he can still go ahead and do yibum with her.
And similarly, he says, Ein Maimer, Acha Maimer, by the same token, he says if he did Maimer with one of the wives and then did Maimer with the other one, then also the second Maimer has no effect. But we're saying over here, Umurder Rabbi Gamliel, she yes get Acha Maimer, Umaimer Acha get. Rabbi Gamliel does agree that get and Maimer are not interdependent in the sense that if he gives a get to one and a Maimer to the other, both of them have effect. Both of them have an effect. When he says ain't get acha get, really, he doesn't mean maybe that you'd be able to do yibum with the other one, because the fact is he already gave a get to the first one, you already have the problem of loy bona shuv lo yivne. But what it would mean in particular, Rabbi Gamliel would say he's not oster in the relatives of the second one he gave the get to, because she's not considered his grusha. Only the first one is considered his grusha midrabanan as a result of that get. And the same thing with similarly with Maimer. So Rabbi Gamliel does agree, though, to yes get acha maimer or maimer acha get. He does agree that if he gave a maimer to one of them and then he gave a get to the other one, or vice versa, then both of them are affected. So the first one, let's say for example that he did a maimer on one and a get to the other. So the get accomplishes that now both of them are also to him in Yibum, and it means that the second one to whom he gave the get, her relatives are going to be also to him just as if he had divorced her. So now he gets odif loyli hani maimer abas, right? Now let's consider Rav Ashi is saying if the get was in our case over here in the Gemara, we're asking about precisely that kind of case where he did a get to one woman and a maimer to the other. So e get odif, if the get is stronger than the maimer, loy lehani maimer abasre, then by that logic, the maimer that he does to the other woman shouldn't be strong enough to accomplish anything. The e maimer odif, loy lehani get abasre, and vice versa, if maimer is stronger, then the get shouldn't be, that the get after it shouldn't be affected. El olav shmamin of hadavinu. Obviously, they must both be on an equal level. So the answer would be they're on an equal level, which would mean, therefore, so Rashi says that it means each one will pass to the other one. They both have a weak zika anyway. So therefore, he can do chalitza with either one of them, and will pass to the other one. So Tosfos points out that actually that would only work according to that would only work that, that this relates to the previous sugya about when we said that when we talked about the case with this chalitza psula. And Shmuel says it doesn't matter. You can do even a chalitza psula, and one brother does it to all of them. It's good enough. Then the same thing would apply over here, that he does chalitza to one of them, it passes the other. If we go according to the other lashon and the Gemara over there, then we would say actually that over here both of them would in fact require chalitza separately. And I think the Rambam passed it that way. That it means that he does chalitza with either one of them first, but he still has to do chalitza with the other one as well. So Shramina Sadat proves it. Another din, Amar Rav Huna Amar Rav, Beis Achoyes Yevamos Shenoflu Lifnei Yavam Echad. You have two sisters who are Yevamos, who now are up for Yibum in front of one Yavam. So these two wives are in other words the same case as we've been talking about, or similar case we've been talking about all this time, where there were three brothers, Reuben, Shimon, and Levi. Reuben and Shimon were married to sisters. They died, and Levi now has to do yibum with one or the other. Now he can't do yibum with either one of them on the grounds that each one of them is a chosikukosay. So cholak v'rishona hutra. So now the fact is each one is going to need her own chalitza or her own yibum, because they're from shnei batim. They're from two different. They're from two different husbands. So each one has their own chiyuv. But cholak v'rishona hutra. So now when he does chalitza to the first one, then that's matter her. Tosfos points out that means, now we said before that Rav holds ein zika. So that would mean not only she's potter, also her tzara would be mutter. Cholak l'shniya hutra. Now, if he does chalitza to the second one, she's also mutter. Fine. Meisa rishonim mutter b'shniya. Now, here's a twist where the first sister and the first sister dies, and we know a wife's sister is only usher as long as a wife's sister is only usher as long as the wife or ex-wife is alive. So now, if the first one dies, meaning the first one who was up for Yibum, if she dies, Mutter B'Shnia, then he's allowed to even do Yibum with the second one, the Ein Tzarech Lamed, Meis HaShnia, Shem Mutter B'Rishayna. Needless to say, if the second one dies, then the first one is Mutter. Mishum Dehavya, Yivama, Shehutra, V'Nesra, V'Chazer, V'Chazer, V'Hutra, because the case is, she was Mutter originally. Because let's consider the first one. When Reuven died, and let's say Shimon was still alive, then at that point his wife is mutter for Yibum. Then after there was no problem. There's no problem of her sister being his Yivama because she's not yet. Shimon is still alive. So now she was mutter. Then she became osur when Shimon died because now we have the problem that each one of them is a chosikul kosay. But now she's mutter again because her sister died. And now even if he'd been married to her, he'd be allowed to marry her sister. So therefore, so now she's mutter again. Tassel la teira rishon. So Rav Huna is telling us in the name of Rav that she goes back to her original heter and now he's allowed to do yibum with her just as he would have originally. But Rav Yechanan says it's not so simple. Fine, I agree that if the second one died, then he's allowed to do Yibum with the first one who came up for Yibum. So within Rav's opinion, Rashi explains like this. First of all, when we say Mesa Rishona, obviously we're talking about over here where he didn't do Chalitza yet. Because if he did Chalitza, then you have a different problem of Achos Chalitzasa. So we're talking about that Reuven died before Shimon had a chance to do anything with his wife, Yibum or Chalitza. She died. So now, when Shimon dies, then he's allowed to do Yibum with Shimon's wife. So again, the reason is because as soon as one of them dies, then the Zika with her goes away. And therefore the other one is Mutter. So now Rashi explains that in the previous perek we had something we were discussing, the question of Yesh Zika or Ein Zika, and we said that when, we said that there's cases where a woman was also to him at time of Nephila, at the time when Yibum, when she becomes up for Yibum or Chalitza, so then when she was Osir, she never becomes Mutter again. So over here, Rashi says, our Gemara disagrees with that Gemara over there. There we said that if she was Osir to him at the time of Nephila, then she never becomes Mutter. Our Gemara would be disagreeing with that and saying that she is Mutter because after all, because whatever the impediment that made her also for Yibum, namely that she had a sister who was also Skuka, is now removed because now her sister is gone. But Rabbi Yechanan says no. Mesa Shnia Mutter B'Rishayna. If the second one who came up for Yibum died, Mutter B'Rishayna, then fine, he's allowed to marry the first one because at the time of her Nephila, she was suitable for him. Because again, when Reuven died, his wife was available for Yibum. There was no impediment to that until Shimon died. But But Rav Yechanan says the other way around. If Reuven's wife dies first, then he still can't do Yibum with Shimon's wife because my timer, shekol yavama she'ena nikodav b'shas nefila yavama yavay aleha, because whenever you can't do Yibum at the time of Nephila, at the time when her husband died, then it's the equivalent of a brother's wife, where she has children, where of course she's also, because then there's no Yibum. So when Reuven died first, then his wife is up for Yibum, and there's no impediment to it at all, because Shimon is still married to his wife, her sister. So therefore at the time of Nephila, then Reuven's wife was Mutter. Later on, Shimon dies, and now his wife becomes off-limits because of Achos Tikkukosu. But fine, once Shimon's wife dies, then we're back to the original scenario. So Rabbi Yechanan says, fine, that I have no problem with. But if it's the other way around, if when Reuven died and his wife is up for Yibum, and then Shimon dies and his wife is up for Yibum, the moment that happens, that wife, Shimon's wife, is already, the moment Nephila happens, she's also because of Achos Tikkukosu. The fact that later on, that that sister, Reuben's wife, dies, Rabbi Yochanan says that doesn't help us any, because at the time of Nefilah, she was not available. So the Gemara says, Rav, let's say hi, Sara. So you're telling me that Rav doesn't agree with that concept? Well, Amar Rav, kol isha she'en any kodu b'mashas Nefilah, yivama yavay alea, harei ke isha sach she'esh lebonim basura. Rav uses the exact same expression as Rabbi Yochanan. In fact, Tosfos says there's a Mishnah later on in our parak that seems to imply this. But Rav was saying, you know, was saying not only that, Rav at least was saying Rav is actually using the same exact expression as Rabbi Yochanan. So how can he possibly be disagreeing with Rabbi Yochanan? The answer is Rav would say Hanimivi Heichad Kori Ba'apa Isu Achois Isha Daraisa. Rav would say there's a difference. The Mishnah later on is talking about where. And the case that Rav himself is talking about is where the blocker for her doing Yibum is the fact that she's an Achos Isha Daraisa. Where, in other words, where at the time of Nefila, so let's say, for example, Shimon was married to a sister of one of these women, then the moment that, so when Reuben dies right away, then that Yuvama is also to him Midaraisa as a Choseshtoi, and therefore, even if later on Shimon's wife dies, that doesn't make it mutter for him to do Yibum with Reuben's wife, who is also his wife's sister. Because at the time of Nefila, she wasn't available for Yibum and on a Daraisa level. Abel Hochazik of the Rabbanani, but here we're only talking that she's a choisikokosai, not a choisikokosai, so it's only the Rabbanan. So Rav says in that case, that doesn't apply, and therefore the fact that now she died, that removes that zika, and therefore there's no problem. So the Gemara says, Eisvei Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina L'Rabbi Yochanan. So now, okay, so Rabbi Yochanan is saying that it makes a difference which one of them died, in the sense that we have to look at Rabbi Yochanan says that even if the impediment was only Dirabbanan, then that also prevents Yibum from happening. So Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina asks him, we learned in our Mishnah at the beginning of the Perek, Arba'a Achin, you have four brothers, Beis Mehem Nesuin, Beis Achoyis, two of them were married to two brothers, Umesu and Nesuin Es Achoyis, the two brothers who were married to the sisters died, Hare Elochotis, Le Mesiamis. So we said they have to do chalitza, not yibum, because the problem is each one is a chos sikokase. Well, va'amai. So Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina says, by your logic, leku chad minayu, lachos lo l'shnia, let one of them go and do chalitza with the second one who became an almana. So in our example over there, we had the two brothers, Reuben and Shimon, Reuben and Shimon were married to the two sisters. Let's go back to diagram 138. So Reuben and Shimon were married to the two sisters. So we're saying that Levi and Yehuda, the problem is each one of them, the women are zikukase, but they're also achos zikukase. So now Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina is saying, by your logic, Rabbi Yochanan, what should we do? Have one of them do chalitza with the one who was widowed second. So let's say Reuben died first, then Shimon. So let one of them do chalitza with Leah. The kevi v'shoina l'gabi idach kivama shahutra v'nesra v'chazir v'hutra tapso v'tayra adishin. Then what's going to happen? So what are we saying? When Reuben died, then his wife was available for Yibum. After that, Shimon died, and then his wife is no longer available, and then neither one is available for Yibum because achos kokase. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, if one of them dies, then the other one becomes mutter. Well, by the same logic, if you do chalitza to one of them, the other one should be mutter. So let Levi or Yehuda do chalitza with Leah, and then Rachel will go back to being mutter. She was mutter. Then she became osir. Now she's mutter again. Now, the question, on the face of it, the question could be according to Rav as well. And Rashi, in fact, says that Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina's question is not only to Rabbi Yochanan, because he's speaking to Rabbi Yochanan, but in fact, Rashi says the question is on Rav as well. Tosfos says not necessarily, because Tosfos explains that Rav, we learned before, says that chalitza psula each of the brothers has to do. In this case, it would be a chalitza psula because, again, you can't do yibum with either one of them, and according to Rav, therefore, it's not enough for Leah to do chalitza with Levi, she also has to do it with Yehuda. So therefore, so once both of them have done chalitza with her, obviously then Rachel is going to be achos chalutzasa, and that's going to be a problem. So therefore, Tosfos says the question is not on Rav. The question is strictly on Rabbi Yechanan, because Rabbi Yechanan holds that Einat Tzricha Lachzer, we learned before that Shmuel says even a chalitza psula is fine, and you don't need to go circulate around all the brothers. So now the question is on Rabbi Yechanan. So why are we saying that both sisters chalitzas for Leimus Yamas? Why can't we say Rachel would have been mutter in Yibum before Shimon died and left Leah a widow? Because at that point, because while Shimon was alive, then there's no problem. Rachel is obviously not achos zukukase, because Leah is not zukuk to anybody. So either one of them, Levi or Yehuda, could have done Yibum with her at that point. Now instead, Shimon died. Leah is up for Yibum as well. Now we're saying they're also, but if they do chalitza to Leah, then that brings things back to the original state. Malay, and Rabbi Yechanan says, as a matter of fact, Achoyas in Yedem Mishnan. As a matter of fact, that Mishnah about the sisters, I don't know who taught it. In other words, Rashi says, Zu ain't a Mishnah. I can't accept that that is a valid Mishnah. There must be a mistake in that Mishnah, because it's not possible to say we can't make it work according to any of the opinions that we've discussed, which we'll continue tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, and talk about why Rabbi Yechanan is saying that. It's a very strong thing for Rabbi Yechanan to be saying that a Mishnah is mistaken, but we're going to go through, we'll go through in the Gemara tomorrow and show how there's no, Rabbi Yechanan is saying there's no alternative but to say that there must be a mistake in this Mishnah, because it can't possibly be correct al pi halacha. In fact, we are going to have later on, by the way, we're going to have also tomorrow, that when we said in the Mishnah that Rabbi Eliezer had brought a machlok as the Shama b'Shilo, we're going to say actually that we actually have to flip it around, what Beth Shammai holds and what Beth Hillel holds. So we'll see that tomorrow, Beth Hashem. But maybe also for that reason, Rabbi Yechanan felt that if there's one part of this Mishnah already that seems to have a problem with it, maybe he said that there's a different part that also could. In any case, he's saying that I can't accept that that's correct up the halacha, because the fact is, it's true. Logically, it should be that once Leah has chalitza, then Rachel should be mutter again. Why are we saying that both of them chalitzas v'lo misyamas? So we'll continue that discussion tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, and see why Rabbi Yechanan is saying that.